going. Times of refreshing. I am loving times of refreshing. Rethinking time, part two today, on our seventh week of the study, Times of Refreshing. And I wanted to remind us that Acts 3:19 is the place where we started. And it's the place that we're going to go back every week, because what Acts 3:19 says is repent. And basically what we've said that word means is rethink. See it like God sees it. Let his word be what we choose to believe about any topic. And what'll happen when we do that? Well, the Bible says in Acts 3:19 that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord if we will rethink and repent. So we're rethinking time. We spent the first, 5 weeks in Hebrews chapter 4, and we found that we've got the promise of rest. And I am so thankful that it tells us in that chapter that promise of rest is renewed today. And the way we experience God's rest is to listen to his voice. And we have all admitted, and we've been on an awareness campaign about all those other voices, all those other messages that compete with God's rest, that compete with the truth of his promise to us, where unbelief keeps us from entering in, and we're seeking to be thoroughly convinced in our minds and having God to bring it all the way down into our spirits that we would believe that we really can experience his rest. Last week, we sort of have begun this subplot of time. But y'all, that is so integral to the topic of rest, because so many of the messages that are blocking my receiver have to do with my schedule and my time. And that's what I've been kind of hearing people going, uh-huh. So we're going to be rethinking the topic of time. And we started with Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So let me just review those first 8 verses in Ecclesiastes 3, and this is the New Living Translation. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to rebuild, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak up, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So those are, I don't know, that's just helpful to me to know that God has an appointed time, an appointed season for each and every activity under the sun. He is the Lord of time. He knows the beginning from the end, and our times are in his hand, as we said before we sang. We looked last week at the two types of time, Chronos being a worldly view of time, the one that's devouring, the one that evaporates before our very eyes, the one that drives us. We looked at Kairos time, which is kingdom time, God's time. And I put a bunch of verses in the homework that I hope they meant something to you if you had a chance to look at them. I didn't really get a chance to develop some of those concepts, but here's what when I was doing my homework and meditating and massaging these verses as far as the principle and applying them to time and wrestling them down, that what I found that is that Chronos has these additional characteristics. It's stingy. It's tiring. It is fear-based. Oftentimes there's a victim or poverty or lack mindset around Chronos time. We tend, when we're operating under the principles of Chronos time, to be reactionary. We react instead of respond. Kairos time, on the other hand, kingdom time, is open-handed, is trusting. It multiplies supernaturally. And lots of unexpected things happen in Kronos time. Excuse me, Kairos time. And in Kairos time, when even the smallest things happen, they increase the value of our moments on a whole different measuring stick than in the Kronos world. So we started with these three principles. That all of that was just an expansion, but we said that God's time, or Kairos time, we said the first thing about it was that it was expansive. Well, this is actually, I'm going to put Roman number one is review, and I'll do an A under that, just to remind us of what we've learned so far, is that God's time is expansive. We have to stretch. We have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. It's expansive. We have to be willing to yield everything on our list, to surrender our view of time, to surrender our agenda, to be willing to get on God's timetable and on his path. And then we said that it's expectant, pregnant with possibility, pregnant with purpose. And from we used the language last week, and I sort of knew, I had that little tingling behind my ears when I said the words, God is the Lord of time. I knew then that things were about to change. So, and I can pretty much tell you from that tick of the clock until this tick of the clock, I have been living with God as the Lord of my time. And I will say it has been expansive, and expectant. I left class here last week, and I had a pretty lengthy list of things to do. I was trying to get out of town for a trip that I'd planned months ago with some of my college friends. And I left the church with, you know, with my things in the car to do. And my first stop was to pick up some alterations. And I had a divine appointment with one of my friends. And it was so neat because really I didn't have time to talk to this friend, but I wanted to talk to her more than I wanted to get my list done. And that is the joy of walking with the Lord, is because, you know, it's like in that minute, it's kind of like it's freeze frame. And it's that Holy Spirit hover thing. And you just know, here we are, and we're supposed to be here. And there's power, and there's love, and there's joy. And all that other stuff kind of quits mattering. And I had an opportunity to talk to this sweet friend that I've known for many years. And she was going through the exact same thing that I have just been through. And so I knew that I was the person that God had picked out, and that was really just two steps ahead and perfectly equipped to encourage her. And so that was really a fun thing for me. And so I had that. I realized, okay, well, boy, that's, you know, once I got back to the car, I realized, woo, okay, need to let God tell me what on the previous list was going to get shoved to the back of the list. And so all I had time to do was to go to Whole Foods to pick up my banana bread that I had ordered ahead of time for a little prayer seminar that I was helping put on the next day. Get to Whole Foods, Miss Gerardo. We can't find your banana bread anyway. They got like three or four different people. I had the whole prepared food departments at Whole Foods had joined in to locate the pumpkin, I mean the banana bread. So we're standing there and they're saying, ma'am, and so finally this nice guy, he may have been an angel, but I really think he was a human being, named Dave, said, ma'am, I found your order and it was on the wrong bulletin board and we have not cooked your banana bread. And I'm sitting there going, give thanks with a grateful heart. You know, and so I said, oh, gosh. I said, I've got 60 people coming to a prayer conference tomorrow. And I said that on purpose for my sake, knowing, you know, it's like putting the fish on the back of your car helps you drive in a more Christ-like way, to a prayer conference in the morning. And I've got, I don't want to be the woman with the schedule, but and he said, I tell you what, if I can find a recipe, I will go in the back and I personally will make your banana bread. And so I go, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help Dave find the recipe. Because y'all really, I mean, seriously, I haven't been able to stand up and cook. I haven't been able to cook for about the last month up until just a few days ago. So I knew I wasn't, I just didn't have the time and B, the liberty to do that and C, you know. So anyway, I said, okay, well, I've got to make it to my physical therapy appointment. He said, 5 o'clock? And I said, yes, sir, I'll see you back at 5. So I go, I do my have my physical therapy ministry that I do sometimes once or twice a week. So I did that. That was blessed. I came back by Whole Foods, and sure enough, there was Dave, and he was just smiling. I said, Dave, my man. And he said, hey, Miss Girardeau. I said, hey. He said, here it is, and there's no charge. And I went, yeah, that's so awesome. So we just, you know, so then I go, and then I got to check out at the checkout, and, you know, the banana bread is just steaming. You know, it's just like I needed to unwrap it because I was afraid it was going to, like, get wet or something from all that warmth. And I said, oh, there's no charge for the banana bread. And she goes, really? I said, yeah, you're not going to believe this. And so then I got to tell her the whole story. And she was, I mean, this lady was tracking with this whole story. So I thought, I got to testify to numerous people. And I got free banana bread out of the whole deal and a good story. And so I thought, God, you're the Lord of time. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, that you just walk with me through my day. Okay, so I get in the car. I live just, you know, 2 minutes away if you make the light. I get home. I'm about to make a plan for dinner because my son Jackson is home visiting from out of town this week. And I did have the liberty to cook for him. That's why I couldn't cook that. And the phone rings, and I said, and it was my mom. And she said, I'm sick and I need you. And I thought, oh, my gosh, she must really be sick because she never calls and she never asks for help. So then I checked with Jackson. He said, oh, Mom, I've got dinner plans with friends tonight. And I went, yes. So the Lord of time had that all worked out. So I said, okay, buddy, well, I'm going to go check on your grandmother. And so the short version of that is that her medical situation ended up in a trip to the emergency room, and I was transporting her to her door at, I think it was probably about 6:45, 7 on Wednesday morning. Had just enough time to get her settled, make sure she had everything she needed, to scoot across town, get in the shower, get out Dave's fresh-baked, free banana bread, slice it into pieces, put it on the platter, get in the car, and drive to the prayer seminar that started at 9. And when I looked at my clock as I was driving down the driveway, you know what time it was? 9:00 on the dot. And I went, thank you, Jesus. You are the Lord of time. I thought, well, so in other words, whatsoever I've called you to do, Kathy, I'm going to bring that to pass, and I'm going to do it in my time, but realize you're going to have interruptions. And all that stuff that you didn't get to between that minute and that minute, did that really matter? I'm kind of like, that was good, God. That was a good walking out the principles of Chronos versus Kairos time. So I was blessed in knowing that I was rested in that whole process. I really, really did experience times of refreshing and rest as I was rethinking my time. So that's kind of like a little where we've been. This week we're going to add some more characteristics of kingdom time or Kairos time. And what I've discovered as I've just gone through, I've got a list going of characteristics of God's time, and y'all, I've got a lot to unlearn. I think all of us do. And so I was working on my list, and I noticed I started having, you know how I'll do, I'll get myself a letter going. And that's kind of like a little love language God and I'll have. He'll communicate to me through that. And it just, it kind of tickles my fancy and my funny bone to do it that way. And so I've got my list going of S words that have to do with the concept of his time. And I'm sitting there and I'm just meditating, praying through some verses and everything. And all of a sudden, this still small voice says to me, slow. And I burst out laughing. I thought, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. You do tend to be slow. So that is the next thing we're going to put on our list. Roman numeral 2 today for new material is slow. You know, I had written a little blog post back in September called On the Road to Rest. And it featured my new bike and about having to learn a new skill, so to speak, which is what we're doing. We're unlearning our old time management skills, and we're relearning new time management skills in the kingdom. And one of the things I put in there that I was learning is that the rhythm or the pace or the cadence are critical to moving forward in an effective and safe way in this. So it's the same in our life of walking with God, that when we make the decision to follow Jesus, what we basically have signed up for is for Him to set the pace. And, you know, if He is the Lord our God, if He is our Lord, then He must be the Lord of time and He must set the pace. And I know some of us have definite preferences in the terms of pace. I tend to be sort of a fast-paced girl myself. I process quickly. I move quickly. I like to tick things off my list quickly. I like to, you know, I'm a fast processor. Some of you may not be in that category, but I know that our world today is a fast-paced world. And it will care, even if you're not geared to be fast-paced, as, you know, just internally, the world will then push you in a fast kind of way. And so we have to be very careful in adjusting our pace to God's pace so that we can do what it tells us to do in Galatians 5:25, which is to stay in step with the Spirit. Because if we get ahead of God or if we lag behind God, guess what's going to happen? We're not going to be able to hear Him. And then we're not going to be able to rest. And for me, what happens is I get impatient. And I sometimes even get discouraged when things aren't happening quickly enough for me, as quickly as I'd like to see them happen. And so I need to renew my minds with the truth about God's pace. And there's a verse that addresses this issue of how we see God's time, and it's 2 Peter 3:8-9. And I'm going to read it from the New American Standard. It says, "Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. Ever feel that way? This is taken forever. You know, you could live 10 lifetimes in the amount of time it seems like it's going to take. So with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. Don't you just love it that He just put that right there in the Bible for you? And you think, thank you for saying, you know. And 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness. That would be me. But He is patient towards you." And I love the way the Message finishes out this verse. When you read verse 9 in the Message, it says this. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "God isn't late with His promise, as some measure lateness. He is restraining Himself on account of you, holding back the end because He doesn't want anybody lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change." And I love that. I've loved that since I read it for the first time. You know, that is God's main concern. He's concerned with our internal being, with our hearts. And He is in the business of transforming us into the image of His Son. That is His purpose for our lives. That is His primary purpose for our lives. And y'all, that takes time. It just does. So that leads us to then the second characteristic. I'll put it up here so we won't be too long. Roman numeral 3 is sanctifying. God's time, or Kairos time, is sanctifying. You know, we sang that song that was based on Isaiah 40:31. And as I was singing, and I thought, now that's the way to look at waiting on God. That's the way to renew your mind about waiting on God. And listen to this verse from the Met. And I like to read familiar verses that we all know. We all have this plaque somewhere tucked away in our house, you know. So let's read it from a version that's a little bit different to get our wheels turning. Isaiah 40:31, the Message says, "Those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind." So that addresses that thing we said earlier, right? About dragging our feet, or about getting ahead of God. So let's view waiting on God from that perspective, that God is using the time where we're waiting on Him to sanctify us and strengthen us, to build these good qualities in us that are His purpose for our lives. And so what I'm trying to do in my life as in this process of repenting and rethinking is to take the negative thought that comes and flip it. Let's turn it on our head. That's what that verse does for us. We've got it right here. Is that God is not wasting my time. He's not wasting my struggle. He's using it to produce in me an eternal weight of glory. He's using it to make me strong. He's using it to teach me. He's using it to help me fly and rise above my circumstances. He's using it to make something beautiful out of my life. That's a better way. That's a better thought. There's life. There's peace. There's rest. There's faith that comes when we speak about it in those ways, when we think about it in those ways. I spent a good bit of time thinking about some of the qualities, and I'm going to have a time of soaking at the end of the lesson where instead of me just reading through these and telling you them, I want you to sit in them this week and meditate on them. But instead of me just listing them right now, what I'd like to do is pray them and speak them over us at the end. But let me just say that He is maturing us. He's taken the wounded and the immature and the whiny little girl inside of each one of us, and each one of us has those little places that need to be grown up. He's maturing those. In His timing, He's using these places where we can't see we can see the next step in front of us, but we can't see really where we're going. He's using that to develop faith in us, because it's faith, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith and not by feeling. So when we don't feel peaceful, when we don't feel restful, when we don't feel in full belief, what He's doing is developing that in us. He's developing us into worshipers so that we can really come to the place and say, you know what? Whether I see this promise fulfilled in my lifetime or not, I am going to worship anyway, because God is worthy of my worship. And that as we sing our way through these times, we connect with Him in a way that is transcendent. He's developing authority in us, that we can do warfare and we can battle. And we can say, you know what, all you other voices, I know you're out there, I hear you, shut up. Shut up. That's not the truth. And that strength rises as we stand firm on the truth of who God is in those moments. He's building perseverance in us. Now, I will read this one because I thought it was awesome. Finishing, Ecclesiastes 7:8, in the New Living, finishing is better than starting. I love that line in the song that we've been singing every week, The Lord Our God by Christian Stanfield, that says, You finish, Lord, what you began. I love that. So finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. And y'all, it is prideful when we say, you're taking too long, you're not doing it right. So God's developing those fruits of the Spirit like patience in us. And y'all, I've always taken issue with that. And if you'll write your